You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Every Tuesday and Friday afternoon, we get together here from 1 o'clock to 1:30, and we share scripture, we share prayers, and we learn more about the Bible and also about various issues that concern us today. So, brothers and sisters, as you know, we have been talking about Saint Bernadette and Our Lady of Lourdes and how the two had connected. And so today we're going to be looking at the Immaculate Conception, the three words that were spoken to Bernadette at the grotto. So without further ado, let's begin with a Hail Mary, and then we will get together and share some more great stuff. Ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, Saint Maximilian Kolbe wrote on the Immaculate Conception. He said, and I quote, "She is God's. She belongs to God in a perfect way, to the extent that she is as if a part of the Most Holy Trinity, although she is a finite creature. Moreover, she is not only a handmaid, a daughter, a property, a possession, etc., but also the Mother of God." So when Our Lady finally gave her name to Saint Bernadette, she did not say, "I am Mary of Nazareth," or even, "I am the Mother of God." She said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And these words are the last that Bernadette ever heard from the Blessed Mother, and they constitute the apex of the message of Lourdes. If we hope to understand Lourdes, we must take the time to truly evaluate this last message. I am the Immaculate Conception. What does that mean? The Marian dogma of the Immaculate Conception. First, let's start with the definition. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception states that Mary was conceived in her mother's womb without the stain of original sin upon her soul. But even those among the faithful who know this definition and believe it do not usually understand why. It is an essential and indispensable part of our faith. Why is it important that Mary was immaculately conceived in her mother's womb? The answer lies in the identity of Christ. The Immaculate Conception is, in part, a clarification of how Mary, a humble human being, could be the mother of the all-holy God. After all, mankind is fallen. Each person inherits original sin from parent to child, going back to the sin of Adam and Eve. Wouldn't Mary then also inherit original sin? And if she did, how could she give birth to the Son of God? For God is holiness itself and cannot coexist with sinfulness. This question has led to some to reject Christ's humanity, others his divinity, but rejecting either one of these fails to understand God's identity, and it cheapens his loving generosity. Yes, the Word became flesh. Yes, God was born of a woman, but to keep the purity of God, the woman who conceived him could not be stained by any sin. So then, how was this done? The answer is that Mary was spared from original sin because God applied the graces of her son's suffering to her preemptively, in other words, in advance, knowing that these graces would come to fruition at the moment of her conception. Just as the redemptive power of Christ's sufferings is transported over time and space to each of us in baptism, so too was this power miraculously transported to Mary at the moment of her conception. Therefore, she was conceived immaculate, able to give birth to the second person of the Trinity and be a pure tabernacle for him. That is why the Immaculate Conception is an essential part of Christian belief. It reveals the identity of Christ. To reject this dogma is to have an incomplete and incorrect idea about God. And likewise, to know Our Lady is to know our Lord. And that is why the words Our Lady said to Bernadette are so important. I am the Immaculate Conception. Brothers and sisters, in the 13th century, Blessed John Duns Scotus was a remarkably skilled defender of Mary's Immaculate Conception, and two centuries later, the Council of Trent affirmed the Blessed Mother as a clear exception to the continual proclamation that all men are born infected by original sin. And although the Immaculate Conception has always been in Catholic tradition, it was not so solemnly defined as a necessary part of Christian belief until 1854, just 4 years before Our Lady appeared to Bernadette, when Pope Pius IX wrote the encyclical Ineffabilis Deus. In this letter, the Holy Father traced the story of our salvation from the Garden of Eden to the present age, and provided a much greater summary of the doctrine that I can offer you here, right? So from the beginning, very beginning, and before time began, the Eternal Father chose and prepared for his only begotten Son, a mother in whom the Son of God would become incarnate, and from whom, in the blessed fullness of time, he would be born into this world. Above all creatures, did God so love her that truly in her was the Father well pleased with singular delight. The Holy Father went on, "We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful." So, with all this in mind, we can now see the weight of the Lady's words, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Not only did these words confirm the identity of the Lady as Mary, the Blessed Virgin and Mother of God, they are also linked to the events at Lourdes, to Pius IX's recent proclamation and of the doctrine itself. In addition, the apparitions at Lourdes helped show us the ultimate purpose of the study of theology, of the disputations on the nature of God, and the articulation of doctrine. The purpose of all these things is relationship. Mary did not come to Lourdes to weigh in on doctrine, saying, "Yes, I was conceived without original sin. Thank you for giving solid catechesis." She came to tell us who she is. Her distinguishing name is not Mary. Many others are thus called, but the name she received from God in eternity before the world was the name by which she will be distinguished from all other creatures forever and ever, the name which no other creature will ever be able to claim. "I am the Immaculate Conception. I am who am," said God. "That is my peculiar name, while no other being can claim." "I am the Immaculate Conception," said the Virgin Mother of God to Bernadette. "That is my peculiar name, which no other creature can possess." So, now taking heart of the special words by our Blessed Pope, a lovely, beautiful little prayer before we continue. Let all the children of the Catholic Church who are so very dear to us, and by the way, when he says this little prayer, this part, he's thinking of our Blessed Lady, okay? So again, let all the children of the Catholic Church who are so very dear to us hear these words of ours with a still more ardent zeal for piety, religion, and love. Let them continue to venerate, invoke, and pray to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, conceived without original sin. Let them fly with utter confidence to this most sweet Mother of mercy and grace in all dangers, difficulties, needs, doubts, and fears. Under her guidance, under her patronage, under her kindness and protection, nothing is to be feared. Nothing is hopeless. And that, my dear friends, is the Immaculate Conception. So, brothers and sisters, the closer we get to our Blessed Mother, the closer we are to Jesus. That's the bottom line, the crux of the entire talk that I'm presenting to you. Excuse me, I just had a sip of my coffee this afternoon. So then we move on to our little Bernadette. And of course, she says to her mother, "They are going to put me in prison since I have done nothing wrong to anyone." This is what she said to her mom. As we've already seen, word of the events at Lourdes had spread rapidly, right, around the surrounding area. And the civil authorities were not blind to these events, right? And today we're going to show and follow Bernadette from the grotto into the offices of the civil magistrates and to see how bravely she gives witness to the Blessed Mother in the face of intense pressure. So we mentioned before about the fortnight and on March the 4th and the apparition on March 25th, which were a very busy time for Bernadette and for Lourdes. In particular, it was after the fortnight, which is, remember I said it means 2 weeks en français. So the exact motivations of the civil authorities are really hard to discern, but it was clear by now that the government did not look favorably upon all this excitement and hubbub in this little village, right? So Bernadette says that as she was leaving the church one Sunday morning, a police officer took her by the scruff of the neck by her hood, right, and instructed her to follow him. And as she was following him, she was wondering, you know, probably thinking that this is the day I go to prison. And when she gets in there, she's told to sit down. They give her some paper and a pencil, and she is to write down what happened at the grotto. And so after she just wrote a few lines, and then the commissioner then says to her, okay, read it back to me. Well, he thought, well, just a minute. So he said that, you know, you're going to have to read it again because it seems like you've made some mistakes. So she reads it again, and this time he's writing, and he's saying to her, okay, this is what you're saying. And each time Bernadette is adamant about the fact that, no, you're saying it, that's not true. That's not what I said. This is not true. Like, imagine a young girl to be able to stand up to authority. I mean, that's pretty frightening for anybody. But she, through the grace of God, was given that strength through the Blessed Mother, no doubt about it, to be able to withstand this interrogation that was so intense. This was just harping on her, just trying her to break her down, to make her say, okay, it really didn't happen. I'm just making it up so that, you know, because who knows? What we don't know is what kinds of things that would they have said to her to threaten her, to scare her, to frighten her, to get her to say or to agree to their version of the story. So the other thing is, despite being interrogated and verbally drilled by the police commissioner for well over an hour, this young little woman held her stance, right? She insisted on the truth, and she didn't fall for any of the bait that they were trying to trick her and get her to think otherwise or to say something else. She stated and restated the truth. We don't know if the police ever intended to imprison her. The gendarme who threatened Bernadette had no doubt gotten the idea somewhere, perhaps maybe from a superior, that it was his own wishful thinking, right? He wanted to. But in any case, Bernadette was spared. And why was she spared? Because the people of Lourdes had gotten together and truly believed that Bernadette had seen the Blessed Mother, that they believed that she had seen something divine. And for that, they had gathered together in front of the office, of the doors of the police commissioner's office, and started breaking it down and kicking the doors and the windows. And they were saying that if you don't let her get out, if you don't let her leave, we will kick the door in. So finally, the police commissioner relented and allowed her to go home. And her parents were right there at the door to greet her and take her home. But can you imagine? Like, you know, this is, you know, it's very frightening. It must have been extremely traumatic for the family, especially Bernadette and her parents, you know. I mean, and Bernadette wasn't like 100% healthy all the time, right? She suffered from asthma. And it must have been such an emotional ordeal and draining her, I'm sure, completely. So, my friends, this story of Lourdes might have taken a very different turn. Bernadette might have been in jail rather than at the grotto for the upcoming feast on March 25th. But for the continued resistance from the people of Lourdes, she said, my poor mother, who was looking back and forth from me to him, had already started to cry. And when she heard that they were going to put me in prison, she burst into tears. And I tried to console her in saying, you're very good to cry because they are going to put me in prison since I have done nothing wrong. So the prosecutor was now facing an angry crowd. He's, you know, this is like, that's it, right? He gives up. So whatever the prosecutor thought about the interview, he obviously decided to let the matter go. The local government then took on the same tasks as it had before: control the crowds, keep an eye on things, and stay out of the way. Gendarmes, which were the French soldiers' name, continued to accompany Bernadette when the crowds became too thick, as would happen soon on the Feast of the Annunciation. If there were any other threats to Bernadette, we don't have record of them. Perhaps the two soldiers who had seen Bernadette during the fortnight, who came away believing, really finally believed that it must have been real. It must have been real. It must have been real. So, brothers and sisters, as I said before, do get a hold of Radio Maria, and they probably have this lovely little book called The True Devotion to Mary. And in the recent broadcast, the previous broadcasts, I have given you some wonderful, wonderful references to reading further about our Blessed Mother and about the Rosary and the importance of the Rosary. So, you know, brothers and sisters, our Blessed Mother is a beautiful mother, so merciful. And I personally don't know what I would have done in my life if I hadn't. Well, it was a blessing being married to a Catholic. I myself wasn't Catholic. I became a Catholic through marriage. And that had to be the best thing I ever did, was become a Catholic. I love my Catholic faith. I love being a Catholic. Nothing gives me greater joy and testifying and you know, my parents, my mom is still with us, thank goodness. And she grew up in an atheist kind of country. You know, it was communism, and they really didn't go to church. Although I think she does remember something regarding church. I'm not sure. Anyway, she didn't have any faith really, but she watches me, and I'm constantly testifying how great our God is, how beautiful our Blessed Mother is, how much she's helped me, how much strength she's given me in times of real serious concerns, and she's pulled me through time and time again. I am so grateful for faith. I pray for those who don't have faith. I pray, and I hope you do too, to pray for the world. Our world is so sick, so ill, and it needs our prayers. It needs our Blessed Mother. And brothers and sisters, if this is the very first time maybe that you've heard about Blessed Mother, or the very first time you heard about Lourdes, or, you know, the apparitions, if you find that fascinating, just, you know, get into the Bible, and you will find the number of apparitions that were revealed by our Blessed Mother through Fatima, through Lourdes, right? Even all over the world, St. Guadalupe, you know, it goes on and on, my friends, and the miracles that God did. And God is working miracles in our life too. And, you know, sometimes we just take things for granted in our life, and we just think, oh, well, you know, that worked out. Well, that worked out, and that's going according to plan. But little do we realize how much God's hand is on our lives, and how important it is to realize that we can't do anything and we are nothing. We need God. We need our Lord Jesus in our life. We need the Blessed Mother to intercede for us. Remember what I've been harping on throughout the broadcast. The more we're closer to our Blessed Mother, the more closer we are to her Son, because they are one. And that is so important for us to remember, that we must lean on our Mother. She is gracious. She is patient. She has loving arms that waits for us to come to her, to bring our concerns, our worries, and never to feel afraid, and never for any of us to feel alone, that we are with our Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother is so so important and so gracious. She gives us everything we need. Any food we need, she is wonderful. You might consider the 33 days to consecration to our Blessed Mother. There is nothing more good for your soul, for you, for your spirit, than for that. Always remember to praise her, honor her, right? So when you're in Mass, just before Mass starts or after, go to Blessed Mother, maybe get some holy water, bring her some flowers, give her thanks. Give her thanks, brothers and sisters, give her thanks. Our Blessed Lady teaches us to abandon our own intentions, our own operations. And although good and known, we are to lose ourselves, so to speak, in the intentions of the Blessed Virgin. And although they are unknown, but this way we enter by participating in the sublimity of her intentions, which are so pure that she gives more glory to God by the least of her actions. So, brothers and sisters, we cannot go wrong, and I'm not steering you in the wrong direction, right? When we praise her, we love her, honor her, or give anything to her, it is God who is praised, God who is loved, God who is glorified, and it is to God that we give through Mary and in Mary. Brothers and sisters, we do well by abiding with our Blessed Mother. We do well. And with that in mind, I thought I would share one little prayer before we go. And it is the Magnificat. So the Magnificat before we go. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. Blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please see me next time here on the Father's Quilt as we conclude our journey with Saint Bernadette and Our Lady of Lourdes. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. A single